Buy a new one.
Blog Talk
My
Radio.
My headset doesn't work. Good evening, everybody. It's Sunday night at 7 o'clock. That means it's time for another episode of Stunt Treks with yours truly, Uncle Jim, and the one and only Leslie Hoffman. How you doing tonight, Leslie?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. We had a pretty major thunderstorm. Did it rain down your way?
Oh, it came down like buckets, cats and dogs.
Yeah.
Did you get any snow?
It's actually been very hot here, which, I don't know, the building that I live in is, 90 years old, and I don't know, when they made these buildings, they were not made for airflow, and in 1928-29, there was no such thing as air conditioning, so, I mean, this place becomes a hot box, but it's been like high 90s. I think someone said it was even 100 outside.
Yeah, it did. It broke 100 here with the humidity factor. It got real hot.
Uh-huh.
Really hot. But anyway,
yeah, so
how's everything?
Pretty much
how's...
been in the room with the air conditioner and the fan on.
Yeah, that's the best you can do. So how's everything going? Everything okay? Otherwise, with the corona quarantine and everything?
Oops, wait a minute. We are still... Well, it's interesting because an article came out this weekend that says the governor is going to allow... I mean, I'm not sure, you know, when you read words, what does it really mean? It says... he's going to allow visitors in nursing homes, which we're not a nursing home, but we kind of fall into that category. For the last month, we've been allowed to have outdoor visits, you know, as long as you sit 6 feet apart from people, or you do FaceTime. As for even... UPS, USPS, FedEx, even drugstore deliveries, they have to ring the front door, which is locked, and then a staff member takes that item from them. You know, in other words, these people aren't even allowed inside our building.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow,
things are
pretty normal here. So far.
Would you say it's pretty normal?
So yeah,
people are allowed in assisted living, independent living, and nursing homes in Vermont?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't visited one lately, but the malls are open, the stores are open, and everything but the movie theaters.
Yeah, well, we We don't have a movie theater in Saranac Lake, but you know, the drug stores and the grocery stores are open. Well, not that I go to bars. I don't know if the bars are open. And then, Lake Placid, 9 miles away, I don't know. I think the shoe store is open. I don't know if clothes stores are open.
Yeah, I just hope this corona thing goes away in a hurry.
It's a day by day thing, and everything is an if, because if there was a jump in reported people with the virus, it's gonna turn things around and they'll start closing things down again.
That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it spike again.
And the big news here is where Saranac Lake sits in two different counties. They're called Essex and Franklin. And for some reason, the governor decided that a prison that's about 3 to 6 miles out of Saranac Lake, which used to be a junior detainment center, suddenly now he decided it's male adults, and at least in the newspaper, turns out that so these new inmates, several of the new inmates have the virus. So, now the question becomes, is the employees that work at this state prison, are they going to get infected? Are they going to come into town? Are they going to infect everybody here? I mean, you just don't know.
No, these are definitely trying times for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we have an interesting show planned for you guys tonight. Here, the phone number is 646-668-2433. I'll say that one more time. It's the same number we've had for years. It's the same number for all of our podcasts, regardless of which one you listen to. But the number is 646-668-2433. And as you guys know, Leslie worked on both Star Trek Voyager and Deep Space Nine, and both of those shows had children actors on them. So, Leslie, we're going to talk a little bit about child labor and how that affects Hollywood production and working on sets where there's children. So if you guys would like to ask Leslie a question, give us a call, 646-668-2433. And we'll get you right on with the one and only Leslie Hoffman. So, before we get going though, Leslie, I don't know if you saw it or not, but did you see that they dropped the new trailer for the animated series Star Trek Lower Decks?
I might have read a headline, but I didn't read the article. But, I realize we're doing child labor laws, but, the virus has basically closed down Hollywood. But hopefully for voiceover actors, for cartoons, for maybe commercials, whatever, they actually could separate, when you make a cartoon, it isn't that they read through a script all at the same time. It's that most of the time an actor will just read what their lines are in a script, and then they'll have another actor come in. You know, it's done different ways. Sometimes you do have multiple actors interacting with each other, but I would say for the animated series, that sounds like that could go very quickly because they could have just one actor in the room, record their dialogue, have that actor out, clean up the room, or, you know, whatever they have to disinfect the room, and then have another actor come in, you know, do their lines. So I think animation is going to happen before live action is going to happen.
Yes, we predicted that we would see Star Trek Lower Decks before we would see season 3 of Discovery, and that's exactly what happened. Lower Decks got bumped up to August 6th, and now we're looking at November before we are even hoping to see Discovery, maybe even December, because it's because of the shutdown.
Right. Now, again, we've kind of talked about this, is you have two different unions, and, well, I'm just talking about actors. You have two different unions. Canada is called ACTRA, and the United States is a merged union. It's called SAG-AFTRA, which means Screen Actors Guild / American Federation of Radio and Television Artists. That's the two entertainment unions that merged in the United States. Now, well, I'll just call it SAG for Screen Actors Guild. SAG and ACTRA, I guess you could call them sister unions, like you could, I forget which, I think Saranac Lake has a sister town that's in France, except that I don't remember what its name is. So what I'm trying to say is ACTRA could come up with their own protocols, that's a good word, on filming before the Screen Actors Guild can really come up on a protocol of filming. So you may find Discovery being filmed before Picard is going to get filmed because, I mean, I've been trying to read, you know, well, because I'm interested in what's going on in the entertainment industry, is that, I've truly read nothing about Picard starting up. I really haven't read anything about Discovery starting up, but several shows ago I said, you know, I think Europe, Asia, whatever, I think they're going to start filming, well, they already have started filming before the United States gets their act together.
And how do you think that having the Canadian-American border shut down by the Canadian government, how is that going to impact Discovery? That means that the actors and the staff and people won't be allowed to cross the border unless they're living in Toronto already.
Whoops, my man. Yeah. I'm trying to read what you said. Is, I wouldn't be surprised if all the Discovery Act might already be up in Canada. I would think that they would at least quarantine an actor for 2 weeks, you know, or do the nose swab or something like that. Something else I read. You know, there's so much on the news. You read one article, it says one thing, and you read another article, and it's completely the opposite. Is the most recent article I read is actually Canada doesn't want Americans to come into Canada.
That's right, because
I'm
the highest infection rate. Yeah, because we have the highest infection rate and per capita, but the smallest population. Figure that one out.
Yeah, right. So, like I say, you know, scripts can be rewritten. Whoever is working on Discovery and is already in Canada, so they'll write scripts around those people, anyone that's in the United States, if they can't get up to Canada for whatever reason. You know, now I'm jumping all over the place. I still say with Terry Farrell, most likely it was her agent or business manager, but they wanted more money, and they offered a counteroffer to the producers. And instead of saying, we'll get back to you, they said, you're fired. And they killed her. They killed her off in the series. I mean, and I was there the night that I had to put the safety harness on Terry Farrell. Believe me, she was not a happy person. So I tend to believe the story that I've heard.
And how do you think that that's going to affect Star Trek Picard? Because Star Trek Picard is filmed in California, in Los Angeles, in Hollywood, where Discovery is filmed up in Toronto, Canada.
And, well, that's what I'm saying is that the United States still hasn't really come up with, they've come up with some protocols, and one movie started filming, and then the Screen Actors Guild decided that they weren't following the protocols, so they closed down the set, and so it was closed for a while. Now it's open again. Like I say, every day is a new thing. I forget which blockbuster movie in England. Now here we're talking about England. And again, depending on which story you read, was they started filming this blockbuster movie. I forget if it's Batman or whatever. Like I say, it's one of the biggies. And it turned out, at least the first article I read is it turned out that several of the crew people, I think they said it wasn't the actors, but several of the crew people were testing positive for the virus. So they closed down the set. Then the next day, there was an article from the production company saying, no one on the set has the virus. Well, you know, so who are you going to believe?
Wow. I just don't know what's going on with this whole thing, Leslie. It's crazy. We live in a crazy, crazy world.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess either I don't remember being taught it in when I was in school, or it was brushed over so quickly. I didn't realize how crazy the Spanish flu was in 1918. No one ever taught me, or I sure don't remember that in 1918 people were walking around with masks on. But now that we have this pandemic, virus, now all of a sudden they're going back to 1918. In fact, I can post it on my page. I don't think you can read the article, but you can read the headline in the entertainment newspaper Variety that the pandemic, 1918. Has just closed down filming.
A flashback. Yeah, I don't remember 1918 either, so that's okay.
Right. No, I'm just saying it's interesting, I think seventh grade was American history. I don't remember what his specific histories were other years for me, but it's very interesting how people decide what will be taught as part of the history of the world. And I don't remember ever being told about the Spanish flu.
And nor do I, Leslie, nor do I.
Yeah.
But on another note, so children on Star Trek. So as I said at the top of the hour, you worked on Star Trek Voyager, and you also worked on Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Now, Star Trek Voyager had Naomi Wilde. I don't know the name of the actress, but what was she, like 10, maybe? 8 or 10?
Very interesting. Maybe two nights ago on HNI TV, they had the birth of Naomi. And that is the strictest of all is newborn babies or babies, I forget, under a certain age. I mean, you can only film them like for an hour and a half. I mean, so a lot of times, especially nowadays, they actually have mechanical dolls that actually look like real babies. And it was kind of interesting. Like you say, the episode on Voyager was the birth of Naomi. And I'm just sitting there watching the set, trying to see if that's a mechanical doll or a real baby, because I can't believe that they actually glued whatever you want to call it, horn spikes on the forehead of a fairly newborn baby. I mean, you know, you would be putting glue and to take it off, you'd be using solvent. So I really wonder if any of those shots of the baby was actually a mechanical doll.
And she grew up pretty
right.
quick. I mean, she was born in one episode and she's 8 in the next.
You know children, yeah. That
especially those alien babies.
Yeah, no, probably the longest youngster, and I'll say youngster, was I can't think of her last name, but was Hannah, which was O'Brien and Keiko's Molly. I mean, she was in several episodes. And she was a youngster, so I mean, she had very limited hours that she could work. You're supposed to have not only a parent on the set. If the parent can't be there, then they have to select someone to be there in their behalf, and there's got to be a nurse on the set. There has to be a school teacher on the set. I mean, they're very strict. I got to try to look at my notes here because we're kind of jumping all around here at the moment. Is that Sarak, Jake, was 14 when he started, but it was a 7-year run. So within 4 years, you know, he could work the same amount of hours as a regular actor. I believe 18, you're no longer a minor, as opposed to
so
21,
Will, so
I'm
that
saying.
Means that Will Wheaton would have been considered a minor when he was on TNG back in the 80s.
Yeah, well, Sarak was 14, Will Wheaton was 15. So he actually was a year older. So within 3 years, he was able to work full time as an actor. But the other thing is that they'll hire someone who is not a minor to play a minor, so they can, have them for the full day, put the makeup on them, have them work on the set, get the makeup off of them. We'll stick on TNG for the moment, is that Christina Kell, who played, and please correct me if I say the name wrong, Lull, Data's girl, that the robot or the android that Data created. The episode was called The Offspring.
Yes, Data's daughter, Lull, and The Offspring. That's right.
Right.
Yep.
She was 26.
And same thing with Aaron Eisenberg, who played Nog on Deep Space Nine. He was in his 30s and he was playing a teenager?
Well, by the time you get to the end of the 7 years, he was around 25 when he started. But even at 25, that means that he could work a full day. And especially that he had the makeup, that he had to go through probably 2 hours plus of makeup. I mean, you needed an adult. Or the minute that you get him in makeup, you'd have to put him in school, you'd have to give him rest time, you'd have to do this, you have to do that. I mean, so being 30 or 25, like I say, he was able to work a full day. Now, Sarak being 14, I mean, other than, what should I call it, human makeup, which should go fairly quickly.
Right.
You were able to get him on and off the set. Now, like I say, Hannah was only 5 years old.
Right.
I didn't count how many episodes she was in, but probably if you look at the episodes, you'll just see that, you know, she's here for a 1 minute scene and over here for another 1 minute scene. Or I mean,
now,
they just have to
work
around.
Set with, did you ever have to work on set with any of these children actors? Did you ever do scenes with them or?
Oh yeah, no, I worked with Hannah several times. She was such a sweetheart. Time's Orphan, where she becomes Molly 18. I actually was, there are things that happen that technically shouldn't happen, but I was Hannah's babysitter when we were doing that episode. And when she fell through the vortex, they actually had set up a harness that in other words, she didn't fall into a vortex. They had the camera in front of her, and they had the edge of the cliff. How do I say it? The edge of the cliff was not the edge of the cliff. The edge of the cliff was actually sitting on the floor of the soundstage, and I was holding on to her, and she was in the harness. And Tom Morgo was at the other end that when I let go of her and she swung away from the edge of the cliff, Tom would catch her at the other end. And you should have seen the first time that I let go of her. Well, she's 5-6 years old or however old she was by that episode. I mean, her little eyes got so big when I let go of her and she swung away. But maybe they filmed it 4 or 5 times, or maybe we did a practice run, so they didn't want to get they didn't want to film her screaming down as she was swinging across, so we did do a practice one. But it was really funny. By the time we filmed her swinging across, she didn't want to come off the harness. You know, let's do it some more. And we talked about this, is that where she was on the edge of the cliff. Now, we were up on a cliff for that scene where she's on the cliff, but not before she's falling off of it. And we talked about where, you know, I'm making sure that she's not going to fall off the cliff. So technically, as a stunt person, I'm her safety. But the hairdresser, whether she was afraid of heights or it just was so narrow up there, wanted me to brush her hair down. And they were very concerned that the union would be upset. You know, how dare a stunt woman brush this little girl's hair? But luckily everyone was very cool with it, and they, you know, the hairdresser was behind me and handed me the hairbrush and told me, you know, how to brush it or where, you know, what needed to be combed down. And luckily no one got in trouble with the hairdressing union. I mean, it can be so great. You know, should you be worried about the child as opposed to who's brushing her hair? I mean, I guess that may sound anti-union, but like I say, the hairdresser was on the set. She's being paid. We're in a position that the three of us can't just be on the edge of this cliff that's, you know, 15, 20 feet off the floor. I mean, you know, you got to bend rules. I'm saying don't break them, but you got to bend rules to get her ready for the scene, to get the scene shot, to get the child off the cliff and back on the ground in a safe position. I mean, what are they going to call up the union and have? They call them stewards. They're going to call up the union and have some steward show up there to decide whether or not I can comb her hair.
Well, technically, if you're acting as the babysitter or if you're acting as the guardian, babysitter, whatever, of the child, then technically I would think that would supersede being a stunt woman, because you're in charge of the child, so that shouldn't technically be a problem, I wouldn't think.
Well, but I was not the legal guardian. I mean, now here we go again with semantics. No, I never signed a paper that said I, Leslie Hoffman, am the legal guardian of Hannah. I am hired as the safety to safety Hannah. So. But like I say, if you're gonna start, you know, fighting over words, like, I really doubt the guardian wanted to be up on the cliff. I really doubt that the teacher wanted to be up on the cliff, or the medic, and the hairdresser, and makeup, and me, and Hannah. You know, we did it the safest way possible, and we got the shot.
So,
and if she was. Yeah.
Who foots the bill for all these extra people to be on set? Does that come out of the child actor's pay, or does the studio foot the bill and figure that into the production?
Oh, it's part of production. I mean, that's the whole thing we've talked about, where I used to go to production meetings, and then you go around the room and you know, people would say what budget they had. You know, it's kind of interesting because I don't necessarily remember, let's say, someone saying, okay, it's going to cost this much for the actor. Usually our production meetings were more, I'll call it mechanical, you know, special effects, like squibs, whatever, special effects like CGI, props, hair, wardrobe, stunts. You know, that was what our production meeting was. So I really don't remember a casting director saying that this episode is going to cost this much in actors.
So when you're sitting around at a meeting, for instance, and the episode Time's Orphan comes up, somebody doesn't say, well, we're going to have young Molly on the set for 3 hours, and we're going to have a teacher and a medic and a hairdresser and a guardian and, you know, all this other stuff. That doesn't have to be scheduled into the production. That's just assumed to be there.
Well, I think it's, you know, I'm sure they have more than just one production meeting. That's what I'm saying, is that I think the production meetings that I was going to were the mechanical type production meetings, the production meetings of who are we going to cast, what days are we going to use these actors that we won't be spending a lot of money, you know, having these actors here. I mean, like, if there's a guest star, you're not going to want to work them on the first day and the ninth day because you don't want to pay them 1 through 9 days. You want to try to get all their scenes shot in 1 day or 2 days, and that would be consecutively. Because like I say, if you do work them on day one and day nine, then you do owe them, you know, those 9 days of work. So that was up to production to do that, and that wasn't part of our meeting.
Yeah, so somebody else would figure that all out.
Yeah, you know, they would have a board with the actors' names and well, like I say, usually an episode was 9 shooting days. That's what is free for 30 days, and then you'll be automatically charged $3. Something. Alexis is talking to me.
She wants to be part of the show.
I just killed Alexis.
Murderer.
I must have triggered something. I think it was called This Side of Paradise, you know, where Kirk to Enterprise and the temple opened up. I must have said the right notes or words that Alexa thought I was talking to her.
Is Alexa a minor?
Hopefully I'm not going to get hit by an electronic beam now. Well, like I say, I unplugged her, so she can talk to me after the show. Anyways, well, quickly going through Star Trek, you know, this is just trivia. In the original series, in Miri, you know, where you had the young kids and the adults were they turn into monsters when they hit puberty. I don't know if you remember that one, but Kim Darby was actually 19 and Michael Pollard was 27. The episode Charlie X, that's Robert Walker Jr. He was supposed to be 17, and he was 26 when he played the role. About the only episode that I can think of, or one that really comes to mind, was there was an episode called And the Children Shall Lead, which is that the one where they were, the parents were dead, And they were calling this angel, and they're going, "Hail, hail, fire and snow, friendly angel, we must go far away, far to sea, friendly angel, come to me." Now, those were definitely minors. I mean, those were definitely young kids, but I don't have their names or their age. Then you get to Next Generation. We kind of talked about it already, as Wil Wheaton was 15. And Lael was 26. Deep Space Nine, Sarak started at age 14, so you add 7 years to that. He was 21 by the time he finished. Like I say, Hannah was really only 5 when she started. I actually think they had a different actress before they had Hannah when she was even younger. Aaron, we talked about, was 25. Voyager, I still say with Naomi, they just had a doll most of the time. I watch old movies, and I always find it so funny when someone, well, number one, they wouldn't show a woman necessarily with a pregnant bump. They just all of a sudden have a baby. But then they'd always have the baby wrapped up in a blanket, but it was as stiff as a board. You know, they'd hand the baby over to the father. It's like this solid, you know, there's no give to this baby that the father is holding. And it just always gets me. But you know, sometimes you would watch, I'm talking about old movies, you would watch an old movie, and again, for probably 25 seconds, 30 seconds, they might show a baby, again, bundled up in a blanket. Like I say, they are so strict about babies. And, well, actually, I'm kind of doing all this backwards, is going back in time. What happened also with young performers was, now, everyone would probably know him as Uncle Fester on the Addams Family.
From the Addams Family.
But that was Jackie Coogan. Well, Jackie Coogan was like one of the top child actors. And at that time, well, no television back then, just movies. You know, the kid is making money. He turns 18. There's no money left. The parents spent it all. So,
wow.
So the Screen Actors Guild, if you've ever heard of the Coogan Law, that was named for Jackie Coogan, who like I say became Uncle Fester, but that's because the parents just took the money. And then later, when I was on the board of directors of the Screen Actors Guild, I actually was the co-chair of the Young Performers Committee. It was kind of funny. When I first got on the committee, it was still called the Children's Committee. But the, I would say, the 15 through 18-year-olds were very upset being called children. So we had to legally, well, I don't know if you want to call it legally, we changed it to the Young Performers Committee as opposed to the Children Committee, so the 15 through 18-year-olds wouldn't be upset.
Oh, jeez. Well, we forgot to mention, though, we forgot to mention Alexander Rozenko, Worf's son. He worked on TNG with
him.
Jonathan. Yes, because Jonathan Frakes directed that episode, where Kalar brings his son back to him, and which is one of my favorite episodes. But he clearly was a minor.
Right. So once again, is that and again we come back to the time in the makeup chair. And once you subtract the time, you know, let's say a minor's only allowed to work a 5-hour day. I mean, if it's 2.5 hours in the makeup chair or an hour and a half to get the makeup off of them, I mean, how much time do you have left to actually film any scenes?
So that time is all included in the total?
What's that?
All of that time is included as their total. It's not filming time. It's total time.
It's total time. I mean, what if I just lost his name. The guy that's now on Discovery. I mean, I don't know if it's the character he's doing now or the character that he did where he was like the fish man. I can't think of what the name of that movie was.
Doug
Jones.
One of those
makeup things took 5 hours to do on him. I mean, there's no way you could do a minor and film in a day. Yeah, Doug Jones.
So how did they handle Alexander on TNG when they had to turn him into a Klingon?
Like I say, I don't know. They maybe what they did with him was different than like how they would do Dennis or Tom. Is maybe his headpiece was actually all one piece, so basically all they did was darken his face skin and just plop an appliance with a wig already on it. Because, like I say, that's easily a 2.5-hour job on an adult.
Wow.
Yeah.
So children actors are expensive. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why they, you know, I mean, you got to write shows with children in it, but then you also know how much more money you're going to be spending on the limited amount of time that you can film the child, on the medic that has to be on the set, the teacher, the guardian. And I mean, it's just amazing. I'll call it the entourage when you hire a child on the set.
So, I remember the episode a reunion that we're talking about with Alexander. Worf sends Alexander to school. And they go to school, and there's, I don't know, 8 or 9 other kids in the school and with the teacher. So each one of those kids has to have a teacher, a nurse, and a guardian, and blah, 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 for each kid that's in the scene?
Yeah. Well, a teacher doesn't necessarily – let's say there are 5 kids on the set. It isn't that a teacher must remove all 5 kids at the same time to teach them. I mean, if they're not in the scene and the teacher has whatever time that they're supposed to be teaching a kid, let's say an hour's worth of schooling, you know, they might take 1 or 2 of those kids off the set and teach them, bring them back, and then, you know, get whoever else is now has the time to be taught. So it isn't, that part isn't restricted. You know, it isn't like, you will teach this child from 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock. It's within an X amount of hour day, you must have this much time of teaching a child. So it could be at any time during the day. but it can't be during their lunch. It can't be during their lunch. You can't combine lunch and teaching together. It has to be separated.
Interesting.
Yes, it's just going back. One thing I remember, I can't think of his last name. I'm not doing good tonight. I know his first name was Manny, but Grasshopper in Kung Fu. He was another one that, you know, he worked on Kung Fu I don't know how many years, and he turned 18 and he went to get his money. Now, that's another thing, is that I was starting to say the Coogan Law. So they created the Coogan Law, except that was only when movies was being made. So the parents and lawyers and whoever found the loophole is you read the wording and it talks about film or movies. So when all these television shows started happening with children, the Coogan Law did not apply to television shows. So that's actually something that my chair and myself were able to get done at the Screen Actors Guild, was get the television shows covered.
Because, wow, that's amazing.
Oops, wait a minute, I'm waiting for the... yeah. This Manny from Kung Fu turned 18. He should have had either hundreds of thousands, if not $1 million saved. Goes to his parents when he turns 18. He had nothing.
Wow.
I mean, we're talking now about the early 1980s. I mean, it was bad enough for Jackie Coogan back in the 20s and 30s, but the 1980s, you had parents that, well, their excuse was that their children should be living in the lifestyle that they deserve. Well, maybe it's that the parents decided that it was the child needed a multi-million dollar house or Mercedes-Benz for their parents to drive, or that parents should be paid to be the guardian of the child. I mean, it and that's why we got screwed up actor kids.
Well, yeah, I mean
Yeah, very few. I mean, really, if you were to take a percentage, very few children go from child actor to adult actor. I mean, I think one of the most famous ones that was able to do it is Ron Howard. I mean, to me,
yeah,
that guy never stopped working. He was but if you notice, he went from being an actor to being a director / producer.
And look at Drew Barrymore, what she went through, trying to make the transition from a child actor to an adult actor. It took her a long time to get herself together enough to go back into acting again.
Oh yeah, no, and this is the sad part about the Screen Actors Guild is children were being abused by their business managers and or hairdressing or wardrobe or, you know. I mean, they don't know when wardrobe is touching them inappropriately. They know something feels wrong, but and then again, they're not going to go running to somebody and say, you know, the wardrobe person touched me here or there. I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's why you get screwed up kids, or they become too rich too quickly. You know, it came too easy. I mean, it's everything. But a person did a documentary on child abuse in the entertainment industry, And instead of the Screen Actors Guild backing this documentary, they wanted to sue the person that did this documentary because it turned out, I was already gone, it turned out that the head of the Young Performers Committee, who also was a businessman for, or business manager for Young Performers, was guilty himself, and yet he's running the committee.
Wow.
And they interviewed him at the Screen Actors Guild, and then they had this kid call him up. Well, now the kid was probably an adult. Call him up, and on camera, this person's now accusing the business manager, and the business manager is basically saying, you knew what you wanted. Oh, come on. Kids knew what they wanted? Kids knew that they wanted to be touched inappropriately?
Nah, that's just crazy right there. But Leslie,
yeah.
Look at your clock.
I know. We've been talking an hour already.
Oh, my God. Time flies when you're having fun. I've got a couple announcements I want to make for all the listeners out there. There's not going to be a Trek Talking on Thursday night, the 16th, because I'll be on vacation up at camp. So we won't be back until July 23rd for Trek Talking at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And Manu Intramani will be with us. He played Ichib on Star Trek Voyager. And he's going to be with us live to take your questions, talk about working with Jerry Ryan, talk about how he got the job, and what his thoughts are on them killing his character off, and why they didn't call him back to play Ichib on Star Trek Voyager, on Star Trek Picard, I'm sorry. And that'll be on July 23rd, so you want to check that out. And then on the July 27th, which is that Monday, we're back with our second episode of The Book Nook, and we're going to be talking with Dayton Ward about his Star Trek Discovery novel, Drastic Measures. And again, he'll be with us live in the studio, and you can give us a call, same phone number, 646-668-2433. If you want to talk to Dayton or Manu, you give us a call, and we'll get you right on, and they'll answer your questions. And then, of course, we also have Comic Corner coming up as well. We haven't had a Comic Corner in just about 5 months because of the COVID. All the comic production was shut down. Well, TJ finally managed to get some Star Trek books in the store. So we're going to be talking about Star Trek, the 5-year mission, issue number 11 and issue number 12. And that'll be on Monday the 20th. So we got a lot coming up for you guys to make up for having no show next week. And, of course, myself and Leslie will be back with another awesome episode of Stunt Treks. We haven't picked a topic yet, but we'll have that. And I just want to take a minute to say thank you very much for hanging out with us, Leslie. It was great to chat with you.
Oh, it's always – this was a touchy subject, but it's always fun reminiscing of, well, especially Star Trek.
Yeah, I agree. We always have a good time. We didn't talk about Planet of the Apes, though. That's odd. No ape talk.
Now, that's an interesting question. I wonder how, was his name Lucas? What was the name of the nephew?
Oh, yeah. He said, don't trust anyone over 30.
You think he was an adult?
You
were just saying the line. Yeah, no, that would be interesting to find out how old he was. I mean, with all that makeup, he could have been any age, but he was the nephew.
Right. Wow, maybe we'll do a show on Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, there we go.
So before we sign off, I want to let everybody know that you can head over to the Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization Facebook page. And over there, you can say hello to Leslie. You can drop her a line. And she also has a lot of you can get in touch with her if you're interested in an autographed picture. She has several available. Head on over there, and She'll take right good care of you. And make sure you tune in to Trek Talking and Beyond on Thursday night, not this Thursday, next Thursday with Manu. We're going to have a lot of fun talking about some Borg. And I'm your host, Uncle Jim. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Stay safe and be good to each other. Good night, everybody.
Night.
Let's see what's out there. Engage.